That was Rap Sheet earlier this morning, implying, or not really implying, saying that according to his people, his sources inside the Patriots organization, who have proven to be pretty strong sources, I'd say, over the last few years in particular, that it looks like they're still a couple of weeks away from Drake May, starting anyway, from starting. We'll see. He may get into the game today, may get into the game next week against Miami, but I think a lot of people were, even the Drake May skeptics, even the ones who thought, you know, this isn't the right time to play him, they shouldn't start him, they can't put him behind that line, blah, 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 whatever the excuses that you have for not playing him, and I'm not, you know, attacking anybody, I'm just saying, those are the reasons why people didn't want him out there. Even those people were like, you know, that Miami game looks like a good spot. That looks like it's a home game. Miami's all banged up. They don't have their quarterback. They're not going to score a lot of points. That could be a nice, soft, pillowy, nerfy landing spot for them right there. And now it seems like maybe they're not even looking at that. Now, if that's the case, if the case is now, we don't even think Miami's a good time to bring him in, doesn't that start to raise questions about his preparation and him being ready? And maybe, you know, if this was, not that it was the wrong pick or anything, but if maybe they thought he would be picking it up a little faster than this, because week five, I think, was probably a good measuring stick point here in the season for when you might want to bring him in. And if they're still weeks away, doesn't that sort of point to him not being ready?
All indications are that he's progressing at least where they expected or better than expected. They're giving him 30% of the snaps in practice, which is more than you would typically give a backup. So they certainly want to have him prepared to go into games and see what he can do when he's operating in the Patriots offense. Because, like, Shime, you asked, how can he show that he's growing behind the scenes when he's only taking 30% of snaps? He can still show himself competent and picking up things on scout team, but he is basically like role playing the quarterback of the other team. So there's extreme limits to that.
Yeah. In my opinion, like, I think you can really only show what you know when you actually play in a football game. And other rookie quarterbacks have gotten that opportunity and grown. All three of them, all three of the rookie quarterbacks who started week one have grown over 3 weeks. And two of them looked really, really good in week three, and one of them in spots looked really good. And so
he had a good day pass. He had a couple picks, but he had a good day passing.
Yeah, like, I mean, Caleb, and they made it, they forced him to throw the ball 53 times because they can't run the football, and he was able to do that, and they almost won the game. I think Drake May needs, you need reps in actual live game fashion,
which he
in
got
order
last
to show
week.
Where you are.
He
sure.
did get that. And that's again, like, that's for their process. That's another part of a vote of confidence. Like, I was surprised, I don't know, I shouldn't be surprised with anything on Twitter, but I was surprised at a lot of the reactions that I saw from people watching that Jets game going, oh my God, why are they putting him in here? This is awful. And it's like, no, this showed they want to see him out there. They want to see what he can do when the stakes are extremely low and he can just go out and sling it a little bit and get his feet wet. Like, all indications are that they're very happy with how he's progressing. It's just, we're sitting here in week four. I doubt that the plan was ever to start him in the first 4 weeks of the season. So Miami, probably not. I don't know. Because it's not just, hey, that's a good landing spot for him that game. It's all the games that come after it. And do you feel that he's going to have an arc of progression that makes sense for him?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. When you say, like, he's progressing faster than expected, what do they expect? You know, like, what was the expectation? That was never really verbalized. They never really said, no. You know, this is around the time we think he'll be ready. This is around the time we think, before the season started, that we think we'd be comfortable putting him in there. And I'm not sure that ever got articulated. And maybe that was on purpose, you know? They weren't sure. But it seems like we've seen what Jacoby Brissett is. We've seen what he can do. If this was a normal situation, you would have gone to the backup already. Like, if Jacoby Brissett was backing up whoever the quarterback was and the quarterback was giving him this kind of production, you'd have gone to Brissett by now, right? Or Minshew, or whoever it was that you had backing up this quarterback who's been so bad to start the year. And, you know, I say that with all due respect to Jacoby Brissett, but, like, it's been a struggle watching
him. It's
been
awful.
And the reason why you haven't gone to him is because you have this special plan for Drake May, but they never really articulated exactly what that expectation was and when they thought they'd be feeling comfortable enough to play him.
But that's why I also think that this isn't a when Drake May is ready thing. Like, to me, this is a when the offensive coordinator and GM decide they're ready,
right,
to give their rookie quarterback a chance, because the guys' jobs who are tied to the rookie quarterback are the GM and the offensive coordinator. Jerod Mayo was handpicked by Robert Kraft, as Robert Kraft will tell you 5 years ago, to be the next head coach of the Patriots. He's not going to be 1 or 2 years and done and out the door. Kraft is going to give him a pretty long leash here, whereas the offensive coordinator and the GM could easily lose their jobs after one season if things go bad. And so if they put their rookie quarterback out there and he doesn't hit, and guys like me who are huge Drake May fans are just wrong, and he misses completely, they're screwed and they're out of a job. So it's really up. This is not a conversation about when Drake May is ready, because in my opinion, I think he's ready now. He's been ready since week one. It's a conversation of when Alex Van Pelt and Elliott Wolf are ready to take that risk.
Still ways away from being on the field.
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily... I disagree with you. I do think a big part about it is about him being ready. When you look at the way, as I'm sure, like, you've spent a lot of time studying what the defenses are doing that they're facing week to week, and what a struggle it is for a lot of young quarterbacks coming in being able to understand what they're seeing out there. There's that video that was going around even before the season started from the Hard Knock Giants crap about, like, wow, look what Drake May is able to diagnose by looking at a whiteboard.
Right.
That doesn't mean that when he's out there and he's got the fourth string left tackle with the pass rush, you know, jamming him down on his back, that he's going to be able to look out and see what's a too high, you know, defense.
But again, I would ask, where is he learning that from? Because Jacoby Brissett isn't
virtual reality. That's where.
No, I do think that a lot of it comes through his meetings with the quarterback coaches and whatever role Ben McAdoo
has. But couldn't he be doing that while also playing in games?
Well, I think the fear is, and again, I know this is like an extreme example to use, but that he'll be out there, he won't be able to diagnose what he's seeing, and it'll turn into, let me roll out and throw out of bounds like I'm Zach Wilson and just totally crumble over the
but
air.
So my thing is like, I don't think that's giving Drake May enough credit for being a professional athlete.
It might not be.
Because, and also, I would rather him roll out and throw it out of bounds than take a sack like Jacoby Brissett. At least when he throws it out of bounds, I'm not losing yards. I'm not losing a play and going negative. Like, I will take a throw out of bounds 10 times out of 10 over a sack. That's totally fine with me. And there's a chance that he then decides, I can actually scramble for 6 yards and gain a positive play that Jacoby
Brissett
can't do.
Which we've certainly seen him do.
Yeah, and so for me, like, it just, there's no logical reason to keep Jacoby Brissett in the game outside of it being simply a decision the way I see it, like, Jerod Mayo has basically said he thinks Drake May is better than Jacoby Brissett and can play. And if it was, in my opinion, if it was Jerod Mayo's sole decision, Drake May would be playing this week. He would be playing already.
It would be a lot for him to own with the lack of experience he has, though. I'm talking about Jerod Mayo.
I don't disagree with that. That's fair. I think with a more experienced offensive coordinator, Drake May would already be in here.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones here before we take a break. Tim is in Hanover. Go ahead, Tim.
Good morning, guys. Hey, you know what, Shime? I think you hit on a lot of good points right there. I've said since day two of game two, I should say, from the Pats, that May might have issues with the play calling and the defensive schemes. I think that might have slowed his process down. But the thing is, they've got to put May in. They got to put Milton in. They got to play these guys to see exactly what they got. They're only numbers right now. Numbers don't dictate where these guys really are until you see how they can play. I don't care if they've been taken on the second or third round. They got to be able to play and let them show what they got for next year. And then that way we know going into next year's season, we're going to be good, because we're not going to be competitive this year.
Yeah, I agree with that, Tim. I think you're certainly onto something. And I think that when you're a bad team like the Patriots are, trying to protect Drake May from going out and getting his ass kicked, you know, well, you're going against a good team and this team's not very good. This team's not going to be very good.
No.
It's not going to be very good for the rest of this season, and it's 12 weeks left in the season here. And I'll even take it a step further. I don't think they're one offseason away from fully getting out of this situation that they're in terms of talent on the team, surrounding the offense with talent, surrounding your quarterback with guys to throw to, guys who can protect them, all that stuff. I still think that may be, like, I told you this last week, Shime. I've been been rethinking the entire rebuild. You know, like, I've been rethinking this entire timeline based on the way that the season is going so far.
I agree.
But that's all going to change when they beat the Niners.
I hope, honestly, Arcana, I hope that's true. I hope that's true. And you know what? It would be even great if, even greater if Drake May comes in the second half and that's why they win the game.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be amazing.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls and we'll talk with Andy Hart right after Chris Schein tells you what's trending. Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator and the quarterback whisperer here in New England, and who, according to Shime, and not just you, a lot of other people think is running a shadow government with the offense behind everyone's back and behind Gerard Mayo's back, even maybe getting final say on some of these things.
Is it behind Gerard Mayo's back?
Maybe it's not.
Mayo said that he was the offensive head coach.
Right. So it's not that behind his back's not what I meant to say there. But like in lieu of the leadership you'd be getting from your head coach, you're getting that instead from Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, I also think in part that's because Gerard Mayo isn't the guy who selected him.
Right.
It was probably selected Van Pelt probably wasn't his first choice.
Well, maybe Gerard got to pick out the first five guys who interviewed. Or were requested for interviews and turned them down.
Yeah, like Nick Cayley and Zach Robinson and all those guys.
Well, quickly took jobs other places. Yeah. I think it's something like that. Let's go to the phones here before we talk to Andy Hart. Dan is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Real quick, am I missing something? But, like, today's game, I mean, isn't this a definition of a get-right game? I keep hearing that the 49ers are beat up, yet the only guy they're going to be missing is McCaffrey. And you talk about Jordan Mason not being great. Well, how great is he going to be if Debo and Kittle are playing? I just see them getting down two touchdowns, and then, you know what I mean, hell breaks loose. I can't imagine they stay within two touchdowns of them. I think you're just talking yourself into something that isn't possible at this point. That's just the way I see it. I want a confirmation from Shine, you especially, before I go to the window. Thanks, Phil.
Right. See you, Dan. Before we go to the window.
The betting window.
Betting
window. That was my assumption.
I thought he was in line of Wendy's.
There's not many of those. Honestly,
he was standing on a high floor.
There was a lot of different ways you could have taken that betting window. I think is probably right though.
Yeah, a little dated because there's really no more betting windows anymore. But regardless, look, I don't think there's I don't see any chance for the Patriots. Like, to me, this is absolutely a get right game for the Niners. They are going to own this game at every facet, special teams, offense, defense, doesn't matter. They're better coached. They have better personnel. Like, everything is in favor of the 49ers. They're at home. Everything is in favor of the 49ers here outside of the rest factor, I guess. Patriots have 2 or 3 days of extra rest. Outside of that, though, the 49ers have everything going for them, in my opinion. I know Arcand is big on the Patriots this week, but I would even take alt lines on the 49ers up to like 14, 15, 16 points. Like,
yeah, I mean, listen, I don't blame anybody who does that. It's not even so much that I'm high on the Patriots that I'm down on the Niners. You know, I think those last two losses were eye-opening, and this is a team that's under a lot of pressure. There's beat reporters out there in San Francisco right now and all season long who have been talking about how if this team doesn't win a Super Bowl this year, that could be a hot seat for John Lynch and for Shanahan. Like, both of those guys, you're spending a ton of money on that roster. Every time there's a problem with that roster, they go the Wick, Wick Grossbeck way of fixing it, which is just throw money at it. Throw money at McCaffrey. Throw money at Ayuk. Throw money at Trent Williams. Throw money at anybody who wants it, and let's keep this team together. And when you do that, you have to go out there and win. There's a lot of pressure on this team, and I think getting off to a 1-2 start is going to exacerbate that. And yeah, I mean, listen, Samuel's playing. George Kittle's going to be playing. All the injuries that you thought you saw there, maybe a little bit of fool's gold outside of McCaffrey, but if those guys are out there playing not at 100%, that's not necessarily a great thing for them either.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, let's go to Colton, who is in Chicopee. Go ahead, Colton.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, shout out Mego. Love to hear you.
Thanks, Colton.
My one point I wanted to make was, and I know it's an offensive line issue, but could you imagine if they actually took Neighbors instead of May, how much better they'd be right now? Because once May actually gets out there, he looks like a man amongst boys, honestly. Looking at the Patriots roster, he looks better than 90% of the Patriots roster. So even when he does get out there to play, I mean, how much help is he really going to have? That's the point I'm making, is their roster pretty much sucks.
It does. But if Neighbors is out there, who's throwing him the ball?
That was going to be my, right? My follow-up. How would he pop in this offense? There's no one to throw him the football. Joe Milton cannons to Malik Neighbors would be fun.
And
he
also
just had to jump like 3 feet to get it every time.
I mean, Danny Dimes is throwing to Neighbors right now, who's out with a concussion, by the way. I mean, Neighbors got banged up the last time we saw him, but Daniel Jones throwing to him
Daniel Jones is like legitimately head and shoulders better than Jacoby Brissett. Like, Daniel Jones has won a playoff game. I understand that Daniel Jones isn't great and a lot of times makes stupid decisions, but, like, Daniel Jones is a legitimate NFL quarterback compared to Jacoby
Brissett. Who would you rather be right now, the Giants or the Patriots?
I like Drake May, so I will say the Patriots.
Me too. I still like, I like having the hope of Drake May on the horizon rather than being saddled with Daniel Jones. And
but if the Giants get Bill Belichick, I may change my tune.
Are you like,
if they get Belichick, then I would say Patriots.
That team, I think he would be really good. I think there's a lot of talent on that defense. They literally just need a quarterback.
Okay. Interesting.
I think they need a little more help than that. But either way, let's get to Andy Hart, who joins us right now, WEEI Afternoons, alongside yours truly, along with the Six Rings podcast and the Six Rings postgame show, which you will be hearing after the game tonight. Andy, how you doing, buddy?
Shout out to Mego. Love hearing her.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
Don't we all? Andy, we've been talking.
Every call started that way now. That's what I heard.
They do, yeah. Every single one of them. All the text messages on the line, everything. It should just be the Mego show. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
You're just mad about that Barking Crab tweet.
You know what? That started the show off on a bad foot, and I've been jealous ever since. The Barking Crab, one of my favorite places in the world, Andy, is tweeting at Mego how iconic she is. Like, I'm chopped liver over here.
Yeah, you are.
It's pretty much it.
Wow, that hurts. That hurts. But you'll find a way, right? You'll plug on.
I don't know. I don't know if I will. But anyways, we've been talking about this matchup all week long. I've finally come around. I'm taking the leap. I'm picking the Patriots. I think that there is a lot of pressure on this Niners team. I think there's no pressure on the Patriots, really. They've had a ton of time off. And for San Francisco, they're the more desperate team, I agree. But I think that's going to work against them. I think New England's going to come away with this with a shocking victory. What do you think about that, Andy?
As I replied to you in our text when you said that to me, one word, Homer. As much as I hate to do this, Shime, I'm with you. Like, not only lay the points, I'd probably be willing to go a little higher. I agree with you, Arcand, in a way. I think the 49ers are the more dangerous team. I think they have some desperation here. They've been embarrassed. Any trap factor went out the window. They're getting a little bit healthier, and they're by far the better coached and more talented football team. So I'm not sure exactly how you put that all in a smoothie blender and come out with a Patriots win. So this is another bad spot. It's why you and I argued about Drake May, and I would never throw him out there. Like, you know, you're on the road in San Francisco against a dangerous, desperate 49ers team. I think this one could get ugly, and I think we could get our Drake May garbage time again. That's the upside. Tune in for the fourth quarter.
Andy, this defense was highly touted by some heading into the season, and they haven't had a score yet through three games. They had a pretty bad showing with all those missed tackles against the Jets. When you look around at their personnel, particularly in the secondary, who do you see being able to be a ball hawk, somebody who can change the momentum of the game or even score for this team when points are so hard to come by for the offense?
You know, quite honestly, it should be all of them. Like, even a guy like Marcus Jones, who I still have questions as to how good a corner he is, but he's an athlete. We know if the ball's kind of in his area and he gets his hands on it, he's going to turn it into a play. And then you go Jonathan Jones, the veteran guy, Christian Gonzalez. I've been a little bit critical of sort of the craze and hype that's been thrown at him, but he's a good young corner. I mean, that touchdown he gave up against the Jets, he's fingertips away from that potentially being a 100-yard pick six play of the week type play that maybe not in that game, but in another game, you get a play from him like that. I think that could change the momentum, change the course of a game. So that is actually, you know, Christian and I were doing sort of reasons for hope this week, reasons for concern. And one of my reasons for hope is I do think this secondary is due to make some plays. And not that it's an easy task today, because, you know, you have Brandon Ayuk. Hopefully he's got the right color game pants on and he can get out there and get the ball thrown his way. But that's a talented offense. Brock Purdy's a talented quarterback. He's having a good year. You know, he's got, I think it's like a 110 passer rating. So I'm not saying it'll be easy, but I also think if this secondary and this defense is what the Mina Kimes of the world think it is, a top five unit, they need to bounce back. They can't string together. You can give them a one-off aberration. Okay, short week, you know, on the road against the Jets, division foe, whatever. Give them a pass for that game. You put two of those together, and I don't really care where they are and who they're against, then you're not as good as everybody says you are. You're not as good as you're supposed to be. So I'm with you. I feel like they're a little bit due for somebody. So if I had to pick somebody, doesn't it feel like Christian Gonzalez is just smooth, long-armed, and whoever he's covering. I'll go with Christian Gonzalez. Gets an interception today. That'll be my optimistic point of the day.
All right, Andy. Christian Arcand, big on DeMontre Jacobs this week on the offensive line.
Right.
Is there any chance, can you see any world in which the offensive line actually impresses us a little bit with how they attack Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and the 49ers front seven?
I will say yes. And it really has nothing to do with Jacobs or really any of the guys involved. It's just, I think expectations are getting so low. If they don't, you know, tie their own shoes together, trip and fall on their face, I feel like we'll say, they were competitive or, they were okay. Jacobs in particular, I have no faith in. And A, I've never seen him. B, he is just a big man who the positives listed by Gerard Mayo were like, he's big. He does what we tell him to. He tries. Like, none of it was, he's got talent. None of it was, he has potential. It was almost like great personality for the blind date you're on. You have questions heading toward that blind date. You have concerns. So I have legitimate concerns about Jacobs. I think the only way that they improve, for example, Mike Onwenu has not been good. So if Mike Onwenu is good today, okay, that's 1 out of 5 good. Let's just say you get a great day from Onwenu and Andrews. Neither of them have bad plays, no penalties. They're not getting run over like Andrews was. You know, those two right there just playing well would probably make us feel a little bit better about the way it goes. But, no, left tackle, I expect left tackle to be a thorn literally and figuratively in Jacoby Brissett's side.
Which coach has the most to prove between Gerard Mayo, DeMarcus Covington, and Alex Van Pelt this week, Andy?
I think it's Gerard Mayo because he's tied to the defense still. So anything we talk about on defense, for example, the horrific tackling last week, which the biggest concern for me, like I never thought we'd be talking about a week where the Patriots couldn't tackle. And then I was hopeful we wouldn't talk about weeks where they didn't bring energy. Those fall on the head coach, who's a defensive minded head coach. And so I think they need to tackle better. And I think this team just needs to come out and compete. I don't expect them to win. You know, but as I told you earlier in the week, I'm not calling it a moral victory when it happens, but if they compete, I'll feel a little bit better. But if they pack it in, if they fail to measure up, if tackling's an issue and energy's an issue and all of a sudden it is garbage time, but not just skill-based garbage time, but energy, effort, and attitude kind of garbage time in the fourth quarter, that resonates with Gerard Mayo because I'll take his own words. They're supposed to be laying a foundation. They're talking about culture. And if you're 4 games into the season and 2 of those games are embarrassing efforts on the road, that kind of lands on the head coach's desk and table, and you got some questions to answer with 13 games left in the season.
Andy, earlier in the show, we were talking about how predictable Alex Van Pelt's offense has been, whether it's because of the playbook that he's rolling out there or the decisions Jacoby Brissett is making at the line of scrimmage. What do you think they can do to kind of like get out of this tunnel vision of either just running it, or zeroing in on one guy, be it Hunter Henry or DeMario Douglas per game?
You know, I think they have to throw deep at some point. I think they have to open it up a little bit more. And I know that's easy to say. It's almost a cliche. Oh, you got to stretch the defense out, make them respect you in the back end. Yeah. You know, or Javon Baker, who's been a nobody, you know, maybe he can get involved. I think you need to inject some energy into this offense, and I think you need to inject just a dose of fear into the defense, because I don't really think there's much defense's fear right now. And I know this is easier said than done, but you know, for example, that ball that Arch Manning threw yesterday that everybody was raving about on Twitter, it's not like he had to stand in the pocket for, you know, 6 seconds and wait for it. He's throwing to a spot down the field and he's letting his speedy deep threat track the ball and get under it, and you end up with a big play. So I think at some point you got to scheme those up, because I got to think teams are just going to start, you know, even in this world of cover two deep, Mel Kiper hates it, teams are going to just start loading the box. And at some point you got to just, and I hopefully it's a play, maybe you can steal a PI, but I think you need to do that a little bit. But it's all easier said than done when we just talked about it. You got DeMontre Jacobs, someone most Patriots fans couldn't name, pick out of a lineup, potentially starting at left tackle, seeing action at left tackle. So, you know, I don't fault Jacoby Brissett for probably, you know, fearing for his life and almost expecting the rush to get there and probably running sooner rather than later. But at some point, you got these guys, and if Tyquan Thornton's supposed to be the fastest receiver in his draft class, Let him prove it. Make him prove it.
Andy, so Mego and I have kind of been going back and forth about Drake May a lot today, and so I'm curious your thoughts. I am under the impression that if it was Jerod Mayo's call, Drake May would be starting already, but it is more so the offensive coordinator and the GM who are kind of forcing Jacoby Brissett upon us. I'm curious where you stand on, do you think Drake May would even be ready? Do you think that Jerod Mayo would be more in favor of starting Drake May? I'm kind of curious where your head is at temperature wise on Drake May with, you know, the front office and coaching staff.
Yeah, based on all the circumstantial evidence and things we've heard, seen, kind of pieced together, I'm with you. It feels like Jerod Mayo would put Drake May out there. You know, comments about how well he played, comments about how football players get better at football by playing football. Even when he says he's played well in practice, but that's just practice. He has to do it in a game. Like, it's almost like he's saying, I want to see it in a game because I'm intrigued by what I see in practice. Whereas I do think the other two guys, I mean, you had Elliot Wolf talk about it would be the worst thing in the world if you put Drake May out there too soon in his comments to the Herald earlier this season. And Alex Van Pelt has kind of been on the record straight with it, that he doesn't think he's ready and still thinks there's development to be had in practice. I don't know when he's ever going to be ready. Like, the argument sort of confounds me. When is he going to be ready, and when is the line going to be ready? They're getting worse, not better, on the line. So you're not going to be – so unless you're planning on truly redshirting him, I just don't know. I mean, I can see avoiding Bosa or even avoiding a short week in New York. But in terms of your offensive line and your quarterback, starting next week against the Dolphins at home against a backup quarterback, against a team that scores fewer points than you do, doesn't have a vaunted defense, to me that's when you start a stretch of games that are Drake May ready, Drake May willing. So – And then I just don't know whose call it is. That's the other thing we've been talking about during the week, is that comment from late August when Jerod Mayo said, as the head coach, I'd like to think I decide who plays. You'd like to think, or you do decide who plays, because that's a major difference. And because if he doesn't, I don't know what hurdle has to be cleared before Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt will sign off on it. But I'm with you. I think if it were Jerod Mayo's call, I think he might have started week one if it were Jerod Mayo's call.
All right, Andy, before we let you go, a final score prediction today.
I'm going to stick with what I said during the week. Six rings pod, 27-9. I don't think the Patriots get in the end zone. I think the 49ers cover those points. I think we probably see Drake May, even though I know, you know, Crapsheet alluded to him not playing today. I don't think he meant it that way. I think we could get – you've opened up the dam on garbage time, so – I think we could see more Drake May in the fourth quarter, and hopefully that leads to Drake May next week. But I will say, I don't think they get embarrassed. I don't think they roll over and let the 49ers rub their belly. I think there'll be a little fight in this dog, but the problem is it's still a dog.
All right. You guys are all going to feel pretty stupid next week when I'm the one celebrating this big win.
Definitely.
Andy Hart, great to talk with you as always. I'll talk to you on Monday at 2 o'clock.
See you guys.
All right. You can also hear Andy Hart on the Six Rings post-game show, which will come your way after the game. Also, they'll be on at halftime as well here on WEEI. So don't miss any of that. And also, don't miss any of WEEI all day today, because it is the last game of Joe Castiglione's distinguished career full-time as the play-by-play voice of your Boston Red Sox. So keep it right here all day long. When we come back, we will pop, lock, and drop it. All right. We got a few minutes left here before we hand things over to National Radio, and then Red Sox baseball coming your way at 3 o'clock. Patriots will kick off at 4:05 in San Francisco. Rest of the games will be kicking off at 1 o'clock. No Europe games this week, right? We don't have any morning games.
No, I believe that starts next week.
That does begin next week. Patriots have a game in Europe, but that's not germane to what we're talking about right now. Right now, it is time to pop, lock, and drop it. Chris Scheim, who's going to pop this week?
Yeah, give me the L.A. Chargers to pop this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like everybody on the planet's picking the Chiefs. I think this is where Jim Harbaugh pops onto the stage and is like, hey, AFC West isn't all that locked up just yet. Chiefs might even lose, but I'll take the Chargers to cover the 7 as my pop.
I like that. I like that bet a lot, because the Chiefs haven't blown anybody out yet. The Chargers are at home, and I agree with you about Harbaugh. I think that this could be a much closer game than people are anticipating.
Correct.
Mego, who's going to pop?
I like that, too. I'm going with an individual by the name of Mark Andrews.
Nice.
From the Baltimore Ravens. Kind of quiet so far compared
very
to
quiet.
Some of his production in the past?
Most tight ends have been quiet so
far
this year.
Yeah, he had zero catches last week, just four the week before for 51 yards against Vegas. So I saw Mark Andrews for 50 or more receiving yards today is plus 295, and I like that.
All right. Okay. And my guy to pop is Travis Etienne, the running back of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a Jaguars team that's 0-3. You want to talk about a team that's desperate. The Texans had a real hard time last week with the Vikings, and I think the Jaguars are going to force it down their throat with Etienne. I expect him to get in the end zone. I expect him to have a big game, and I like the Jaguars in this plus 5.5. I don't know if they'll beat the Texans, but they're a team that I think is due to have a decent showing here. And at some point, Trevor Lawrence has to win another start, doesn't he? He's lost eight in a row. At some point, I feel like he's got to win again. Or my man Mac's going to come in and save the day. either way, that's who I like to pop. And I know it's the Jaguars, an unpopular pick, but that's who I'm going with. Who is your lock, Shine?
I hate to do this. I hate doubling up. I hate going back to the well. Give me Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, in a revenge game today, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton, 250-plus passing yards, currently at plus 145. The actual over-under number is at 229. Love that. I have played a Dalton ladder like you wouldn't believe at the over 229, 250, 275, and even upwards of 300. Give me Andy Dalton to have a big day.
One timeout left in their back pocket. Dalton taking a shot to the end zone.
Dalton.
All right, my lock is just Cardinals offense. They're playing my beloved Commanders, whose defense is absolutely dreadful. Cardinals are averaging more than 27 points per game through the first 3 weeks. My Commanders didn't force a punt in their Monday night game, even though all the headlines were about Jaden Daniels. So take the over for Arizona. I lost it at 26.5.
All right. Very good.
I would definitely hammer the over.
I'm liking the L.A. Rams this week. That's my lock against the Chicago Bears. The Bears, who are coming off a brutal loss to the Colts. They also lost to the Texans. Their only win so far has been against the Titans. And I feel like the Rams are going to be feeling themselves coming off that big win over San Francisco. It's a 3-point. The Bears are laying 3 points in Chicago to the Rams, which makes this one an easy one for me. L.A. Rams plus 3 in Chicago in the 1 o'clock slate, and that's with coming back. Keenan Allen's going to be back for the Bears. I don't care, and I know the Rams are still banged up. I think that they have the better quarterback, better coached, and I like them to at least cover that 3. All right, that's who's popping and who's locking. Who do you drop?
I'm dropping the Browns and Raiders. I don't want to touch that game with a 1,000-foot
pole. That's on my drop list, too.
Get me out of there. That Raiders team seems like a dumpster fire. Guys are making business decisions, and I want nothing to do with Deshaun Watson.
My drop is actually your pop, which is Jacksonville. I don't want anything to do with that team. They're playing the Texans, who are coming off a loss to the Vikings. They got absolutely pantsed in that loss. I just wouldn't touch anything on Jacksonville. That is a very poorly coached team, and I don't even know what Trevor Lawrence is at this point. You say like he's got to win another start at some point soon.
Eventually.
I saw Trey Wingo, God bless him. Like, he just tweeted out, hey, the last time Lawrence won at home, it was against the Texans. It's like, okay.
Good luck.
There you go.
Great.
Division game, too. Division games are usually close. The game that I'm not touching is the Colts and the Steelers. No way, no thanks. I think that it's going to be a low-scoring game, so maybe I touch the under on that one because the Steelers' defense has just been so smothering so far. But I don't believe in Justin Fields. Shine, don't love what I'm seeing so far this year from
Richardson. Trust me, I understand.
The 3 touchdowns and I think 6 or 7 interceptions.
6
picks. He's been brutal. And, Fields has been better than that, obviously.
But Fields is due for a game where he gives it away, isn't he?
I agree. And this might be it, so that's why I don't want to touch it. I think that if you want to put your hard-earned money on Steelers Colts, God bless, go for it, but I'm not doing that this week. All right, we have about a minute left here. Let's go around the room. What is the final score of this game, Patriots Niners, going to be?
34-13 Niners.
Wow. I say 27-17, just narrowly under the spread.
That would be right under the spread, so that'd be the Patriots covering. I think the Patriots win this game 17-13. I think it's going to be extremely low scoring. I think
that
the 49ers are going to have a very hard time getting their offense going with all these guys banged up. I know they're playing, but just because they're playing doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be out there executing the way that they want to be. And for the Patriots, they've had a ton of time off. Lot more pressure on the Niners. I think that pressure boils over and that we start having some real serious conversations about the Niners and their entire operation throwing all that money at all these players and starting off the year 1-3 while the Patriots start the year 2-2. You heard it here first, and I don't think you heard it anywhere else. Anywhere in the world. San Francisco, New England, anywhere else. And that is all the time that we have. Want to say thanks to Fitzy. Thanks to Tom E. Curran. Thanks to Andy Hart. And, of course, thanks to the coach, Jermaine Wiggins. Mego and Shime will talk to you guys. Shime will hear you this week in the mornings. Mego will be reading you WEEI.com. And you'll hear me at 2 o'clock on Monday right here on a Patriots Monday right here on WEEI. Thanks, everybody. Bye.